The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Ozzy, 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 thank you very much, Extraordinaire Engineer. Listen, we're going to get back to the broadcast, Living by the Word Ministries presentation of Bible Information Brokers. And we want to answer as many questions as we can with the line that we have left. So please take an opportunity to call in at 888-995-5552. Call and talk to Eric. He'll set you up. 888-995-5552 is the number. Everything else is Bible Info Brokers. I'm looking at Facebook right now. We're going to get to these Facebook questions. Matter of fact, we're going to run those as fast as we can. And also, we have questions you can send in by tweet, messenger, at our .com website for the emails, and also on Truth Social. We need to operate and utilize all these various formats that we have, and let's take advantage of them as we have them. So, PCH, you back with us, brother?
Yes.
Very good. I mean, I didn't want to interrupt that. You know, that we talk about those breaks. And I don't want to get in trouble with any kind of union rep here because, I mean, I used to be union president back in my younger days, but I know how to respect that situation. So since you're back with us, we can get right into it and utilize all that God gave you and get these questions asked and answered. Listen, we had a question from Facebook, and Christine had a question in regards to, well, she's kind of asked a question. Did you see this documentary about is Genesis history? And she was saying that she found it quite interesting about how they came up with the idea of the, I think she said it was an old earth, if I'm not mistaken. I'm trying to make sure I got that on the Facebook page correctly. But did you see this documentary at all? I didn't see it, about is Genesis history.
Well, I mean, sorry, what are we referring to? What channel?
I didn't see the channel or anything. It's just a documentary, so I don't know if it was any kind of special channel. Christine, if you can type in there for me, if it was on a special, like a history channel or something like that, because usually if it says something about history, usually it's that history channel that puts those things on. So, you know, let's hold off to that question, and we can get back to it when I can find if she was saying what channel was it from or something. We have a better idea which documentary it was, but it's called Is Genesis History. Now, we do also have a question from our dear brother Timothy, and he was asking a question here. Let me see, his question was about, oh man, let me see, did I even write it down? These things come on and then they scoot down. Craig, this is interesting stuff on this Facebook page. Hold on, let me see if I can bring it all up. Well, you know what? I'm going to get it, but I'm going to get to it after we take the question of something I know I can do, which is click a button on the right side and talk with Richard. No. Before we go to Richard, hold on for a second. I'm going to put you on hold, Richard. Don't go anywhere. We've got to answer Timothy's question from Santa Clarita. And he was asking, because he's driving, and I want him to be able to get this question asked and answered. And he wanted to know about being a vegan. He says, how do we interpret the biblical stance on eating meat and other things such as salt that can actually kill us, as opposed to eating in a manner where we are respecting our bodies and what we choose to consume?
Well, that's a big question.
Yeah, it is.
And it's interesting, and I don't claim to be an expert. I claim to have an interest in this because I've worked out for years and I'm interested in my health overall. I've heard so much conflicting advice. I even talked to my medical doctor the other day and talking about saying that a lot of the stuff, you know, against meat has been some of it's been overrated or exaggerated, or that the studies weren't as ironclad as people thought. So, I mean, I just think I'm going to use the phrase, one should be use common sense. And of course, I realize Mark Twain said nothing so uncommon as common sense. So I get that. But my point, I would still argue, is, you know, to me, it's just having a balanced diet. Look, living is unhealthy for you. People die because they're living. I mean, if I was going to be overly concerned about everything, I couldn't drive, I couldn't hardly do anything. To me, I should try to eat well, eat healthy. I try to eat as natural as possible, try to have especially, you know, a good healthy doses every day as possible of fruits and vegetables. I do take supplements. I try to use some of the better ones that I think are more natural and not synthetic. Just like, you know, there's different forms of vitamin C. I want the most natural form, not just some, you know, synthetic version thereof, if you will, man-made product. But to me, if you're going to do this, I mean, really, you could hardly do anything if you're going to be say, well, it's not healthy for you. Well, what is healthy for you? I mean, if you think about it, even vegetables that people think are healthy. I watched a special the other night on salmonella and E. coli and how often, you know, lettuce, for example, romaine lettuce is contaminated than other vegetables. There's been various scourges, even in America. We generally hear how healthy and ours is the best most uncontaminated food supply in the world, and that's really not true. And so there's been E. coli and salmonella and organic spinach and you name it, Daryl. I mean, practically any product you can think of that's good for you, people have actually died from. So to me, I want to trust God. I want to use some common sense. I want to try to eat well. But really, dietarily speaking, other than just obesity, I mean, and gluttony, which is a sin, at least gluttony is a sin. People can be overweight for different reasons, so I want to be careful there. But really, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, chapter 8, chapter 10, Romans 14, Colossians 2, other key passages, there is no dietary laws that are prescribed for the believer. You must abide by this. We should try to take care of our bodies. They are the temples of the Lord. There should be vessels for him, and we want to take care of them. But you can't find a passage where it says it's wrong to eat meat. Oh, it says that don't violate your conscience, but also don't force your views on another person, brother, sister, or even non-Christian. So to me, read the relevant verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, also in chapter 8, also in chapter 10, the relevant verses about 2:14 through 18 in Colossians 2, all of Romans 14, and look at Acts 15, and then be convinced before the Lord what you think is wise and good. To me, it's a prudential issue, and it's an ethical issue only as we eat that it's so unhealthy that it's, you know, it's damaging to our overall health because we're just eating so poorly. The rest of it is simply a matter of conscience and preference, and that's where I'm going to leave it.
You know, I've jokingly said in the past, and I remember, you know, the Bible, I always say, I go by the Genesis 9:3 diet, where it says, every moving thing that lives shall be food for you, and as I gave you the green plants, I give you everything. Now, I'm only saying that tongue-in-cheek because I know that people are very serious, and we should be very serious. I've been talking to I thought it was a nutritionist, but they corrected me and say it's a dietitian in regards to, as I get older, how we eat, and Craig, we would be. So I'm learning more about sleep. I'm going to be sharing that with you, you know, off the air, because of the way our sleeping habits have been very similar. We don't sleep as much as we should. I know sometimes we do tongue-in-cheek about we can rest when we get to heaven, that type of thing. But as we get older, we learn more things. And I think we ought to do, like you said, be wise, but don't try to make this a thou shalt not or thou shalt on either side, especially in the areas that we have liberty to do things. But gluttony is not a liberty. Gluttony is thou shalt not be a glutton, those type of things. So I think what you said is wise, and we can move on because I'm getting kind of hungry as we talk about this. 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552 is the number. Call Eric. Everything else is Bible Info Brokers, Bible Info Brokers, Facebook, email, tweet, Messenger, and Truth Social. Now, I think I have the Facebook question, at least in regards to Christina. She was saying it was on Prime as far as the history situation, and she said it also answers the question on dinosaurs in the floor, or on the floor, I guess, in the floor. But I think the bigger question, if I'm not mistaken, from Christina is that what is kind of the view that you have about the age of the earth? I think that would be safe to say, because I don't remember that being the first part of her question.
Well, I tend to have a view that the earth is pretty old. And I hold that not because I'm a closet evolutionist. I don't think evolution is really a very good scientifically or otherwise. I think there's so many problems with it. But as we look at things and dating factors, they appear to give a very old age for the Earth. It's not that I think God needed millions of years to develop life here. But part of the problem I need to stop before I move on is, I mean, Adam and Eve, when they were one day old, what did they look like? A one day old baby? No. I'm not arguing there's a view that says, well, God kind of put in nature this built-in factor, kind of like a movie set to make it look old. That's not my point. But my point is, even Adam and Eve, when they were one day old, I seriously doubt they looked physiologically like literally a baby one day old. And so there's all these factors and issues that affect the dating of the Earth, the solar system, the universe. I think it's very problematic, but I think there are signs and significations in the Old Testament that it might be quite old, and again, or at least we can't discern really accurately. So I try not to fight and die on this hill. And I've heard the arguments of pro and con. I'm sure I've heard all of them, and it's just a debate I generally don't get into, but. I typically, I'll be honest, I don't really hold to a 6 or 10,000 year old Earth, although it could be, and certainly God could have made it in microseconds. That's not my problem. My problem is not God's ability or His power to do it. It's just simply, what is the evidence? And the evidence I'm going to look at first and foremost from Scripture. What does the Bible teach? And then second of all, looking at science. But the problem is, of course, sometimes our knowledge of science is incorrect. We're scientifically incorrect. There's been all types of hogwash that was passed off as science and was really just blind prejudice, you know, and what have you. I mean, it was just really superficial. Not everything is said in the name of science is very helpful. Indeed, a philosopher of science, Karl Popper, once said, great men or great people make great mistakes, and that includes so-called scientists. So, again, it's really not a hill I'm willing to fight and die on. I can go into much greater detail why I hold the views that I do. What I believe in is, again, I don't believe in evolution. I believe the evidence is for design. I believe in the intelligent design model. I believe that God literally made it. He did it himself. The Earth, the solar system, our galaxy, the universe doesn't explain itself. I find, with all due respect, the views of Stephen Hawking very sophomoric. Indeed, philosophically, some of his arguments are really bad. I've gone through his book, Grand Design, with Grand Design or whatever, and I just he makes me. I mean, if I give him my logic classes to my grad students, I give him a bad grade.
Oh, professor!
Not because I disagree with him, but because his philosophical reasoning was really poor. And you know, you can have even really good data, assuming you do. But if you derive or infer, fallacially, if you make improper inferences, such as an invalid, unsound deductive argument or an uncogent inductive argument, all your stuff goes out the window. And with all due respect and in all seriousness, having gone through his book, I find he made a lot of problematic statements. He has a lot of assumptions, and he talks about the end of philosophy. Well, he was philosophizing when he's talking about the end of philosophy. I mean, that's called a self-referentially incoherent statement. He was refuting himself, the very thing he was trying to prove. He was disproving by his own statement. I mean, that's really kind of sophomoric.
Well, appreciate that, PCH. And what we're going to do now is continue with other questions and get off the history. Christina, what excellent question, though. I appreciate it. Richard, let's bring Richard back. I was trying to get him up earlier. Let's see if we can get him now from, I believe, Costa Mesa. Richard, are you there? Hello, Richard from Costa Mesa?
Yes.
Hi, Richard. Thanks for holding on.
Okay, here's my question. The King James Bible and its style of writing, where does that come from? Is that the normal way of speaking back in 1611? Or did they add the these and thous and speaketh to make the wording sound more holy? Or did they get that from the actual translations, and thus they used to speak like that in biblical times?
How there is thou questioneth the King James Version style of writing. What's wrong with you, sir, or King Richard? Anyway, I'm sorry, Professor Craig.
Well, Richard, those are three related questions or concerns. And no, they didn't add them to make it sound more holy. That's what we refer to as Elizabethan English, and that's the way they taught. And of course, the spelling even is different. If you'd see the actual spelling of the King James Version Bible, I mean, it's often difficult to read because the spelling can be so difficult. Sometimes it's just moderately or mildly different. Sometimes you're like, what? But at any rate, so it wasn't made up to make it sound more holy. It's not. It has nothing to do with ancient languages, Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, whatever we're going to talk about here, that doesn't use these and thous and all that stuff, and it is Elizabethan English, and so it was relevant for that time. It was in a language that it was written in a way that people spoke, but of course we don't speak that way anymore, so it's really in that sense archaic. The King James Version, I mean, which one? There's like 50 of them, what's that?
The original King James Version?
Yeah, well, the original. No, we don't even have the original. There's like 50 variants thereof, and people are almost always talking about one of those. But either way, your questions are still legitimate to ask. And no, it was just, I think it had some great strengths to it. I think overall the King James Version, more of a contemporary one, I still think it's beautiful. I used it. I memorized most of the scriptures. If you hear me quote sometimes, many times, I'll quote it in King James Version, or at least one edition thereof. But I stopped doing that because I got tired of translating English into English when I was teaching. It's like, things like God's no respecter of persons. People are like, why doesn't God respect anybody? And you're like, oh, let me explain this. So at any rate, there's very good translations. I like the KJV or any one of the 50 of them, and I think there's some beautiful prose in there and whatnot. But that was a Bible for one time of history in the Western, particularly English-speaking world, and it served its purpose. And to me, it's great as a artifact, but that's really all it is to me anymore today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your phone call, Richard. God bless, man. 888-995. You know what? I'm having a little issue with the phone, Craig. If I hang up on you, don't go anywhere. We'll get you back because this inside stuff is messing up again. Let me bring it up, bring it down, and bring it back up. So as I'm trying to work this system out here, Craig, are you still there?
I am.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, all it is that I understand what's happening now. It's not sure. It's keep going out on me in the studio, and I have to keep bringing up the picture of the of everybody on here. Now that brings you back. I can now drop Richard, and I can bring up Vicky, and I'm going to do so in L.A., but I don't see her question yet. But
you're
Vicky
in
L.A., thank you very much for holding on and calling in.
Get back in.
Vicky, don't you do that on live radio. Don't you say that. Be careful. This is live radio. Vicky, how you doing in L.A.?
Good. Thank you.
I'm not going to even ask you what was going on, but I appreciate you got it together now.
Okay. what I was going to say is, I was going to ask a question but make a comment about the caller that said something about, oh, well, what nationality is Jesus, you know? And I was just, it reminded me of the scripture that said, you know, that salvation is of the Jews and that Jesus came from the Jewish line and that, you know, I think it's in the book of Acts or something. And that, don't you think that if Christians would read their Bible, that would end all the argument about, oh, was he this, was he that? He was clearly Jewish, though, right?
Well, I would argue that, yes. I mean, so we look at Romans 9, 5, and 6 and other passages. He's ethnically Jewish. He descends from, you know, we look at his lineages in Matthew 1 and Luke 3, and that's clearly Jewish. Yep. That's what I would argue.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then also that, you know, like, that doesn't mean that because you're a certain nationality that somehow that's superior or better than somebody else. But I like to put it like, we're all a bouquet of flowers, right? And God loves us equally.
Yeah. I think you're right there.
We can roll with that. My wife likes flowers. I like special ones. You know. Anyway, hey, Vicky, you know, excellent question. No, anyway, we got your point. We really appreciate you calling in.
Uh-huh. Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much. God bless.
Okay.
888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. You can call Eric right now. You have some open lines available. You have open lines for you to call in. Or you can send us a message by our question by way of internet, Facebook, email, tweet, messenger, the emailsbio.com website. What is the other one? It's Truth Social. And by doing those things, it's the same address. Bible Info Brokers. Bible Info Brokers is the address for all of those platforms. But let's go back to the phone. Let's talk with Anna from Los Angeles. Anna, are you there?
Yes.
Thank you very much for calling in. And what's your question for the night?
Okay. I have this really strange thing happened. Some ladies, when I was at the store, some ladies came up to me and they were saying something about Mother God. And they gave me, they kind of explained a lot of stuff to me.
Anna, I have to interrupt you, Anna, for a second. Anna, I need to interrupt you for a second because we have feedback. If you have the radio on or anything like that, go ahead and turn it off. You can hear us through the air.
Oh, it's in the other room.
Yeah, but we still can hear that feedback. Yes, I mean, we hear their feedback. I was hearing the feedback. So if you can help us out with that, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, I have to
So as Anna is doing it, I'm going to put her on hold for a second as she's working that out. And, folks, you can also call in because we have open lines at 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. And Professor is not taking a break. He's ready here to receive your questions, and he's dying, just figuratively speaking, or metaphorically, as we say it, to answer your questions. Anna, you back with us?
Okay.
There we go. Thank you very much.
Okay, these women came up to me at the store, at the grocery store, and they told me something about, there's a Mother God. Have you guys heard of that? Anyway, they gave me some scriptures, and they explained it to me because I wanted them to explain it to me. They gave me some scriptures, and there was one that said Mother God. It's Galatians 4:26. Then they gave me Revelation 21. 9 through 10, and then Revelation 22:17.
And Anna, before we turn over to the professor, were they trying to convince you that what about Mother God? What were they trying to convince you? That in your understanding?
I don't know. It was really confusing. I didn't understand what they were trying to tell me.
All right.
So
professor.
Something about, he might know something about it.
Yeah.
Galatians 4:26. That's the main one.
Do you want to read that passage for us?
Yeah. And what was that again, Anna? What was the scripture again?
Galatians 4:26.
Galatians 4:26, right? All right, let's see what it says here. All right, Galatians 4:26. It says that now Hagar, that's verse 25, but I'll just read 26. It says, but the Jerusalem above is free. And she is our mother. Now we have to get some context. So
yeah,
I'll just it's dealing with Hagar and Sarah. Okay, let me just read PCH from 4:21. I go to 21. Tell me who desires to be under the law. Do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise. Now, this may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, mm-hmm. bearing children for slavery. Mm-hmm. She is Hagar. Now, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. And then it gets into, for it is written, I think it's quoting some of the Old Testament scripture there, PCH. For it is written, rejoice, O barren one who does not bear, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, they're taking a metaphorical passage, which has kind of been a theme tonight, Derek.
Yeah, seems like it.
And trying to interpret it literally, committing the literal fallacy. Tell me God isn't male or female. God is asexual. Mm-hmm. He's a spirit.
Yeah.
And so they're taking passages which are simply metaphorically speaking about the children of Sarah, if you will, versus Hagar, mm-hmm. her handmaiden. And, you know, of course, one's Ishmael. Then we talk about, you know, Sarah's offspring. And one is a child of promise and one is not. That's all it's referring to. And the mother part is metaphorical. And so, in other words, Sarah's not the mother goddess. I mean, yes, there is people who worship. Some call it Gaia. That's one term, G-A-I-A, the Greek word for earth and the feminine. So they say, well, Mother Earth. And then some are in what's called witchcraft or neo-paganism. But there is various feminist goddess type worship forms today. But we would argue here that, and all the passages we could go through, all the ones you mentioned, they're taking them out of context, and they're taking, I'd be saying, oh, so literally Sarah's my mother. I mean, and that's silly. No, but she represents, the child represents, right? You know, Isaac and Jacob coming from, you know, Jacob. Isaac, I'll get it straight yet. She's not my literal mother, and nor is Isaac my father. But Abraham's my spiritual father, but even that's metaphorical. So again, they're just, this is what happens. What we constantly see here is people have a viewpoint. They picked it up from somewhere, wherever, and then they try to superimpose it on or into the Bible, and they think the Bible teaches it, when reality is they're just imposing their view upon the Bible. The Bible teaches no such thing, and so it would be with the so-called mother goddess idea, and the idea that somehow Hegel or Sarah is literally my mother. Neither is.
So again, yeah. I hope you got that, Anna, because again, I have this little thing I was going to do. Craig, you remember we talked about the eisegetically and exegetically correct by saying, being polite and letting a person know that you are adding to the meaning by and superimposing, not extracting from the meaning, from the principle we talked about earlier in regards to hermeneutics, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
So, Anna, we thank you very much.
Yeah, I knew it was taking that.
Anna, did they give you any literature?
No, they just gave me these scriptures, and they didn't make sense to me at all.
Wait, Anna, did you say they emailed them to you?
No, they were in person.
Okay, I got you.
Giving me all this stuff.
Oh, okay.
So, Anna, maybe next time if you go to the same grocery store and they're there or anywhere else, ask them just for our benefit. Do you guys have a name? Is there a name of your group, or are there authors that you recommend?
Yeah, it's called Church of God. It's called Church of God. They gave me a pamphlet, but they didn't say anything about the Mother God. They just say what they believe. It's from Korea. It's a huge church in Korea.
Church of God. Church of God.
They're not Korean. They're not Koreans. They're different, and they're really gung ho about it. I mean, and then another lady, I was at another store, and another lady told me about it. I go, I already heard about that.
There's one out of China as well called Glory Church, and it's the idea that there is this gal who they claim is God. In fact, she's the Holy Spirit.
Oh.
So now we'll connect the dots here a little more. Once you told me that part, yeah, there's several groups like this. Lightning Amen's one of them, called Lightning Amen, and the other one. And there's this lady who leads them, and they believe she's the Mother Goddess. Okay, there we go.
Oh, I see. I didn't go for it.
Well, good for you.
I don't know if you knew about it, because they're really gung-ho on it.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
And I appreciate
everybody,
you.
All the women.
Anna, we really appreciate you calling. God bless.
Okay, thank you. All bye-bye. Right.
888-995-5552, 888-995-5552 is the number of Bible Info Brokers for all the other platforms I mentioned earlier, which are Facebook at our .com website. You can email us, tweet, messenger, or Truth Social. PCH, I need your help with this. Now, I mentioned about the giving into Hawaii, and let me just make that real clear, folks. We're not saying we're going to go on, because we're only going to go on predicated upon if our listening audience here wants to support that cause for the rest of the year at least. And it's going to cost right about $5,000 to be able to pay for it in full. And that way we can continue doing what we're doing in ministry. And this would be like in addition to. But one of the things about giving to this ministry, we insist, and we want to emphasize this before I turn it over to query to give you the alphabets, and I'll give you the way you can execute the actual giving. We insist that you really, really, really 100% understand that we want you to support the ministry where you go, the fellowship that you're involved with, where you're exercising your spiritual gift, where you're growing in your most holy faith. And we understand that we're like a bonus prize. And if you're so inclined and you're going to a regular fellowship, we encourage you to find a regular fellowship if you don't have one, to grow in your most holy faith. Investigate it. But in the meantime, if you're holding on to God's money and say, until I find a church, I'm going to just hold this money, well, you can send all that to us, and we'll take care of it. And when you do find a place that you're going to fellowship at, then you can give accordingly. And I'm only saying that because I mean it. I mean, so we can use that money to take care of the various things that we do in ministry, because there's never enough PCH. And you just heard from our good friend, the young man that sat right here in the studio, eyeball to eyeball, Pastor Mung. And I want you to let the people know about the various ways that we have. We get no salary between you, Eric, and I. And Ozzy's taken care of by the KKLA. Right, Ozzy, that check is still good? Yeah, there you go. But Craig, let the people know how they can give to us and what we're trying to do, notwithstanding the Hawaii situation.
Well, the key is they can designate how their funds are spent, and then they'll be spent. Indeed, they must be legally according to your designation. Those are called restricted funds. So at any rate, we pay special attention to that. Or you can just, if you just send a check or however you do give, online or otherwise, Daryl's going to talk to you about that. If you don't designate, it just goes into the general fund, the VIB, Bible Info Broker Fund, and that's to pay overhead expenses like the radio program and the website, what have you. We also have the Faithful Friend Fund, FFF, and that is to pay the health insurance premium for the widow of our dear brother Brian, who went to be with the Lord last September. And by the way, you can say, I want 100% to go to this, or 50 or 75 or whatever division you want. That's completely up to you. And lastly, there is the training of trainers. That is where we train pastors, Christian missionaries, and missionaries, of course, what other type of missionaries would we be supporting? in India, Bhutan, Myanmar, or Burma, if you will, Nepal. We have and we are training pastors and Christian leaders, and we just got back a little over a month ago, and we'll plan on going back fairly soon again. And you make that all possible. You make the program possible. God sustains us, but he does it through you, through his people. And if you believe in what we're doing, if you appreciate it, then we just ask you would stand with us prayerfully and financially as you're able. And we know it's tough. A lot of people's insurance has got skyrocketing, mm-hmm. and the cost of food and gas and everything else. We get that. And we're just saying, as you're able, as the Lord has blessed you, as you're able. And some of you could give $5,000, and that means nothing to you. And some of you, if you give $5, that's a lot. And that's between you and the Lord. What we ask simply is that you support your local fellowship that you attend, as Daryl just mentioned. And then as you're able, if God puts it upon your heart, you support us prayerfully, number one. And again, if you're able, number three, if you're able, financially. And Daryl's going to tell you how you can do that.
And here it is. Again, I mentioned about online giving, and I want to thank the people who really hear my heart in regards to the fees and everything. And there's no need for us to, in my opinion, make trillion-dollar industries more $1 trillion through the fees and everything. They have had all kind of situations with banks and things like that that have gotten in trouble because of overcharging fees. So I'm always looking for a way to legally save money and do what the kingdom of God can use, which is the monies, and not just pass it along like we're not even thinking about it, because it's all God's money. We have to give an account for it. We're just stewards. So being a good steward, like Craig said, do what you're going to do with your ministry, please, and now considering us. And here's what we're going to ask that you do. If you're going to mail a check, or if you're going to have a check mailed to us, then we need you to do two specific things. It must say Living by the Word on the envelope and also on the check, or the money order, or however you're going to do that negotiable instrument, whether you do it yourself or you have your bank do it. Then we're going to ask that you mail it to P.O. Box 90477. in Los Angeles, 90009. That's the address. But it must say LBTW, or you can spell it out, Living by the Word. And then you can designate on your instrument. We already talked about the designation. So there you have it. You have the TOT, the FFF, the BIB, or even if you want to say Hawaii, because someone may want us to go to Hawaii, and you have the Lord's money, then you can do that as well. So there you have it, the designation. If you're going to do it by online, very simple. Go to our website, Bible Info Brokers. Bible Info Brokers, click support and donate and follow the instructions. Very, very simple instructions. Like Craig say, Craig says this all the time. I 100% agree with him, 100% agree, that if you have a choice between prayer, praying for this ministry, praying for us individually and collectively, do that. Prayer and giving, pray. The Lord has sustained us. He will sustain us. And we thank you in advance if you do both. God bless you.
And, Daryl, would you give the P.O. box and the zip code one more time? I will do that. We were trying to write that down.
Right. And please, you must write it out to LBTW or spell it out, Living by the Word. And that's P.O. box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009 is the zip code. P.O. box 90477 in L.A., California, 90009. Thank you very much for that in advance. PCH, let's do this. Let's, man, I have some things I'm trying to just, these computers, I don't want to touch it and do what I did again by clicking you off. You know, and I kind of was talking about that. You know, I never do those things on purpose, right? PCH, you know that, right? Hello? You there? Hello? Anyway, hey, let's go to somebody who can verify I don't do things like that on purpose and talk with Dan and Torrance. Dan, thank you for calling in, my brother.
Hello, Dan. Yeah, no, you don't do it on purpose.
See, hey, that's it. That's all. Thank you very much. Next caller, please. No, how you doing, bro?
I don't think you do it on purpose, but you do it.
With a purpose. All right, my brother.
Okay, so good to hear you guys always. I wish you guys were on like 5 nights a week, but I'm glad you're on at least one night a week, and I'm glad it's at least 2 hours.
Amen.
So, hello, Craig.
Hi, Dan. Good to hear from you, brother, as always.
You know, I still think of the first time that I actually physically met you in person. I love you so much before I got there that when we hugged, I had to hug you twice.
Well, so, hey, wait a minute. Can I say this, Dan? You also hugged me twice because I'm big.
Yeah, well, you and I, too, when I first met you, you knew who I was already.
Exactly.
I guess from the phone.
Right,
you didn't
right.
know I was going to show up that day at church, and that's here right. I was. And you said, Big D, because that's what you like to call me.
Indeed. And when I said, and we crazy. Hugged, and we hugged twice too because we're both sizable men.
Well, it takes two to grab hold of all of us. I think.
All right, Dan, let's get to your question, brother. Let's go. We only got about 20 minutes left.
And I put 60 pounds on in the past year or so, so I've got to try and get that up. Anyway, the question has to do with particularly Casey Price, Frederick Casey Price. Senior, the apostle, I have a problem with. And I know about this. I didn't know it years ago like Daryl didn't. I think it served its purpose, but then I looked at apologetics.org, and it was about word faith. Because I've got a friend, I had to go back into study on it. And I was trying to tell him that it's aberrant, and in some cases, gets heretical with the word faith movement. And he's talking to me like, well, every denomination has things that other ones would shoot down. Yes, yeah, so there's a lot of things like Baptist and Methodist, and we have disagreements. But those are generally on the things outside that really aren't that important. These things that we have differences with them are the kind, as if you put drank the Jim Jones punch with the strychnine in it, will kill you. Aberrant heretical is not good. I can't accept that along with it because of the other things that I like. So I want to try and talk to my friend and be specific because I think I wore him out yesterday trying to talk to him about all of it.
Well, sure, a couple things, Dan, and these are, of course, really important topics. You know, Rob Bowman, who is on here periodically, Rob does a great job. He wrote a book called Heresy and Orthodoxy, and he deals with a lot of these terms, and he deals with the term aberrant, which some people do use, and I've used it, but I do generally prefer to stay with the biblical terms. But even the word heresy, heresis in Greek, has two different meanings. It can mean someone who's a believer but is messed up on a significant doctrine, I'll come back to that. And that usage you find in, for example, in Titus chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. Titus 3, 9 through 11, you find the word heresy or heresis or heretic, if you will, from that word. But then in 2 Peter 2, 1 and 2, the word heresy is also used, but there it's denying someone who's actually not a believer. They've messed up essential doctrines. They deny even Christ, the sovereign Lord, who purchased them, as we're told in, again, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. But you are right. There are levels of doctrines, and the church and then various theologians have talked about this. This is nothing new. And so we do differ. We differ in things like church government. Is it a Presbyterian form, Episcopalian form? Is it a congregational form or just anarchy? I mean, our views of the Lord's Supper, real presence, transubstantiation, consubstantiation, what have you. We disagree in those matters, but there are some matters that are so significant that is to the two different usages that Paul gives us, going back to Titus 3, 9, 11, but there are people who deny certain key doctrines that we're to treat them as a non-believer. After our second admonition with them, we're not to have fellowship with them. So, I mean, I think you're on the money with your friend when you talk about, look, not every difference is the same level of difference. Just like certainly all sin is sin, but some sins are worse than others, and some sins God takes people's lives for doing them. So, at any rate, those are the key core terms. And Fred Price, I mean, his stuff, I mean, it cost people their life. People who needed medical attention and wouldn't get it because they saw that as a lack of faith, that God owed them health, wealth, and prosperity, and that it was a lack of faith if they went to a doctor or if they even admitted they were sick. And I always think of a book by the Parkers called We Let Our Son Die, and it's the story of a parents and their tragic story of their young son who basically had a fairly modest medical condition, but because they refused to go get treatment because they believed that would be a lack of faith and therefore be sin, he died of that. And I'll be honest, I can't resist this one. I got to say this one. It's kind of gross, but it is what it is. There's a guy named Hobart Freeman. Hobart Freeman, he also taught this, the word faith doctrine teachings that Price and others teach, and he died of hemorrhoids. I mean, talk about it, a horrible death. I mean, how silly, because he wouldn't get basic medical attention, he died of hemorrhoids. And so these people, it's bad enough that they can cost their own health or their own lives, but they jeopardize the lives of others by saying, well, you lack faith, that's a negative confession, and God's not pleased with you. And they even mess with Scripture. You know, when Christ talks about praying multiple times, when it says that he prayed, if it be the Father's will, take this cup for me. As far as I remember, actually talking with Christ one time, and he basically was talking like Christ had sinned or Paul had sinned when he was asking for things or what have you. I mean, when they start thinking they're as good as or better than an apostle, let alone Jesus, you know you're in trouble.
It bothers me when they talk about, like Copeland talking about, that we're like little gods. That we're God, that when we speak, we can speak things into existence like he did.
Yeah. Well, the
those
only thing
kinds
he's
of.
Speak, yeah, I would tell
go
you
ahead.
He is speaking one thing into existence, his own discipline when he gets to heaven, assuming he's going to heaven, which I believe he is. I think he's a believer, as far as I know. But I think the teaching is so seriously wrong. I think he's speaking into existence his own discipline from the Lord, because it's false theology. It's wrong. Yeah. Go ahead, Dan. I cut you off there.
Well, Creflo Dollar came recently. He's another word faith. He came out recently apologizing for some stuff where he's woken up on, but I don't think they've ever gotten to where they're wrong on the word faith thing and that, as it relates to money.
Benny Hinn
has apologized, little, I guess.
But not enough, like you said.
Well, they just did, you know, they weren't trained. They were trained over there under Kenneth Hagin's stuff, if they'd have gone over to Oral Roberts University, they might have learned some theology that would have corrected them from this kind of stuff.
Yeah, but even Oral Roberts dabbled in this stuff.
Of course. I mean, well, the faith movement, you have the word faith movement, and, I followed Gene Scott, and he was faith. He was about faith. His scriptures were a lot more correct than this stuff, but you straightened out a lot of that stuff, too. I follow you, and you're my mentor, and you keep me, there's a straight line. And you keep me on the straight line. And then you tell me things like, and this is why I really appreciate you guys. Don't believe me. Go and check it out. And then you have the attitude of, and if you find that I'm wrong, let me know. I can follow you because of that, as you follow Christ.
Well, yeah. And you know, Paul warns us about those who want to make disciples after themselves. You know, in Acts 20, he warned the Ephesian elders. And my job is, Monte Tusa does, to make disciples, but followers of Christ, not of Craig Hawkins. And again, as I even tell my students, I said, look, I'm not here to think for you. I'm here to teach you how to think. And of course, to be faithful to God's word. And then, as we were talking about earlier tonight, if you're listening, we talked about hermeneutics and good books on that, how to interpret the Bible or any piece of literature properly. But yeah, it's sad. Too often, Christian leaders are about making disciples after themselves, about building their own kingdom as if it's all about us. And really, it's not about us. It's about Christ. I didn't die for anybody's sin. I can't save anybody. I can't heal anybody. Only Jesus can.
And Paul made that crystal clear. Paul made that crystal clear when he's talking about Apollos and all those guys. So there you go.
I just pray for the people that are following those ministries. If they just, when you try to talk to them, it's like, don't confuse me with the facts. My mind's made up. It's like trying to talk to a Mormon as a Jehovah's Witness almost.
Well, that happens with a lot of people, a lot of us, even with not issues like that, even just theological differences. To me, we ought to be open to Scripture. I mean, most times people simply hold the theology of the local, the church is closest to them. They like the music, they like the people, they like the pastor, he's a nice guy. And whatever his theology happens to be becomes their theology. And we of course, tell people to test all things, as Thessalonians 5 says, hold fast to that which is good. And when we say test all things, as you said, that means even what we say. We're not the gold standard, we're not the Protestant popes. We refer people to Scripture. I'm a man under authority. My authority is Scripture. And I'm a Protestant, but I'm not just one in name. I'm truly a Protestant. I'm not into hero worship. I'm not into listening to some pastor just because he's a pastor. So what? What does that mean? I'm a student of history, of philosophy, of classics, of cultural studies. I've got a personal library of almost 10,000 books. I've read so many books. Who cares? He says, she says, they say, we say. At the end of the day, big deal. Be quiet. Sit down and shut up. I want to hear what if Jesus is God and he's spoken, then I want to hear what he has to say. That's the definitive word. Now, I shouldn't be so crass in the way I just spoke, but that's how I honestly feel. It's like, be quiet. When God wants your opinion, he'll give it to you. We're enamored with ourselves. Look, I've gone to top-tier schools. I've gone to some of the best schools in the world and graduated with honors. I graduated summa 3 times. You know, I've done very well. But it means that. But all that, I'm saying that because that means nothing. That means nothing. If I'm just pontificating, if I'm just waxing elephants, if I'm just giving you my opinions, who cares? Then I need to be quiet. I want to speak where Scripture speaks. I want to teach what the Bible teaches and then show people and then have them examine to test it like the Bereans that were more noble than the Thessalonians because of Anacreno in Greek. They They weighed, they examined, they tested the scriptures to see if what Paul said or what Paul said by the scripture, like, you know, in Acts 17. So that's what it's all about here. It's not about building my kingdom or any other pastor's kingdom. It's about making followers of Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about. And when we lose sight of that, we're not good for much of anything.
100% good, 100% said. Dan, as usual, thank you, brother. Appreciate your call, man.
Thank you. Love both of you.
You as well, brother.
Likewise, Dan. Thanks, brother.
You know, PCH, you know, that's why I emphasize the fact that even though we give the gospel message, we have the privilege to give the gospel message, what thus saith the Lord about it, and this whole concept of the Bible Info Brokers. I remember we put it together and came up with this whole concept about what is the Bible Info Brokers anyway? All we're doing is just giving you what the Bible says about the situation if we know it. If we don't know it, man, why would we want to just dare? Knowing the we know the consequences of gifts and everything. We know how Daddy will discipline even in this life and the life to come in regards to dealing with us as far as the losses that we may suffer because we dare to say things that we just didn't know. I mean, we can be sincere all we want. But if we're sincerely wrong and we're not even open to having a challenge from the Word of God, then what are we doing, man? What are we doing? 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552. I know what we're doing. We actually only have about 6 minutes to do it, PCA, so let's get back doing it. I'm going to bring Fred on the line, and Fred will be the last caller, and then we're going to try to deal with the Facebook questions if I can bring them up that we didn't take care of. Timothy, and I apologize. We're looking for that Facebook question, so if you can copy and paste it again to us so we can move to the front. This technology is getting to the old man, Craig. That's all I can say. Fred from L.A., thanks for calling in, brother.
Thank you, brothers. A very interesting program. My question is I need you to get your input regarding Mark 11, verse 25 and 26. It says, if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. Basically, that's what it says, which is in my mind is an absolute contradiction because it negates the power of the blood. The blood covers our sin. And so what I did was I did look at commentaries, and most of them just, they sidestep the whole issue. Okay. I don't see how it can be reconciled until I stumbled across the fact that this is one of the verses that is not in all the manuscripts. Okay. Which makes sense to me. To say, if you don't forgive, for God to say, if you don't forgive others, I'm not going to forgive you, contradict the rest of Scripture. So what makes sense to me is that it's not in the manuscripts. Unfortunately, it's in the King James Version. And there are times I have problems with the King James Version. Everyone says how wonderfully it's been translated and it's so accurate. But here it goes way off. And on Mark 11, 25 and 26, there's no way to reconcile those verses the way they're written.
Got you, so, Fred. Now, only Fred, let me step in here real quickly, Fred. Only because of the sake of time, I'm going to interrupt you now and have Professor throw it to Professor. We only have about 4 minutes left in the broadcast.
Sure.
Go ahead, PCH.
Well, I appreciate Phil, what you're saying. You're saying you believe it's a variant reading, and what means in over the 6,000 Greek manuscripts that we actually have that still exist, that there mm-hmm. would be differences on this passage on Mark 11 and the reading, whether it belongs right. there or not. We have things like what are called glosses, interpolations, and various things. This is all part of textual criticism. So I get that. Now, I do hold a differing view. I see why you have trouble with it. I'm not disagreeing with that. But how I understand that passage is, it's not literally God saying, and it's a kind of a catch-22. Well, if you don't forgive others, I won't forgive you. But since you won't forgive others, I'm not going to forgive you. So you're stuck in this catch-22.
Mm-hmm.
I see this as how this works, is that a sign of a genuine true believer is that you can forgive. It's not that literally your forgiveness is dependent upon forgiving another first and foremost. God only responds in kind after you make the first move. It's that the sign of a genuine believer is they will, by the grace of God, be able to forgive others. Doesn't mean it's always easy, doesn't mean we don't struggle with it, but horrible things can happen to one
as a believer, and we will forgive them. Why? Because I've been forgiven by God, and he gives me the ability to give others. Why? Because I'm his child. That's at least how I would look at it, Fred.
And that's going to have to be the final word on that, Fred, because we're running close to the end of our broadcast. But thanks for the call, brother. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
God bless you, man.
I appreciate it.
You know, PCH, I have to apologize to our Facebook listeners, Timothy in particular, and Dixie. We're going to get to your questions next week, the Lord willing. We're still here. But I'm going to just give the professor the last 2 minutes that we have in the broadcast to just say this to you, brother. I love you and happy birthday. I'm going to give you 2 minutes for your birthday present.
Well, thanks, brother. Appreciate that. Yeah, God's been gracious, and I appreciate that. I just had a physical, and looks like I'm pretty healthy, I'll be around bugging people for a while.
My Lord.
Looks like I get run over by, whatever, a drunk or something. Mm-hmm. But dear, it really is tonight I want to say, among other things, is, you know, we're not asking people just to accept what we say. We're asking people to compare what we say with the Word of God, the Bible, Old and New Testament. We're not the standard, but for that matter, neither are you, but neither is Pastor Freddie or Joe or whomever. It's the Word of God. The standard is God's Word. It's the Bible. You're on safe ground. You're on the solid rock, terra firma, when you're on Christ and his Word. And the best we can do is point you to the Word. And our whole program is designed to give you reasons why we believe what we believe, to let you look at what we say and then go examine it, but always test it by Scripture. Scripture is the standard. So two final things is test all things, hold fast to that which is good, and that includes test what we say. And as Brian used to love to say, eternity is too long to be wrong. My friend, your eternal soul depends on the things we're talking about. It's worth spending a little time to see if they're true or not. Thanks, Daryl.
Really appreciate that, brother. And again, happy birthday to you, man. That was my gift to you. that's the best gift I can give you, though, man. Give you the mic. Just turn it over to you. But the Lord, listen, Lord, like you said, Craig, the Lord willing, we'll be back next week, and we want to be able to let the people know that we appreciate 100% your prayers. We solicit your prayers, and donations and everything are fine, but we solicit your prayers very seriously, and we thank you for it. So on behalf of the whole team, Ozzy, thanks for all the technological things you did for us. Eric, as usual, thank you. PCH, fine job. And I'm just going to tell you like I tell you every week. I am Mama Grace and Big Daddy's baby boy, saying the Lord is willing. We'll be back next week. More of the Bible Information Brokers and the listening audience team with the staff team. We'll make it happen to the glory of God. God bless.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.